You know, as we think of Christmas, in fact, I was talking with a couple of the men out in the foyer this morning, and you know, what we have, in a sense, allowed Christmas to become is very commercial, and because of that, there are a lot of folks that don't get to enjoy Christmas in the way that we have allowed Christmas to develop. But you know, that's not what Christmas is about. It really isn't. And I think we've allowed what has developed to distract from the true meaning. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to focus on Mary last week. We're going to focus on Joseph this morning, because that very first Christmas, when the Christ child was born, the two that were a part of that really had nothing. Oh, you say, but the wise men came, brought them all those great gifts. Well, that might have been 2 years later. They didn't come there to the nativity. They didn't see him laying in the manger. And the shepherds that came, they had nothing. And so in reality, Christmas is far more than the glitter and the commercialism. It's really about our Creator, who wanted to have a relationship with me and wanted to have a relationship with you, and leaving the glories of heaven to become a man, knowing full well the consequences would be death on the cross in order to pay the redemption of sin, my sin, your sin. And so as we go through the holidays, it's a lot of fun to do all that we have allowed Christmas to become a part of, but let's be careful not to forget the true meaning of Christmas. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer as we just commit ourselves to the Lord and ask Him to work in our lives and our hearts and our minds and prepare us for what He has for us. Father, we come before You and we thank You for this time of year that causes us to reflect on Your great love for us and the extent that You are willing to go to have a relationship with me and with each of us. And I would pray that You would help us to be able to set things aside for the moment, things that would distract us from Your Word, from Your Holy Spirit, that You would be able to accomplish that which You desire in each of our hearts and lives, and that we would be even encouraged more by Your great love for us, by spending this time together. And I know, Lord, that even in this congregation, our abilities to enjoy what we have allowed Christmas to become varies drastically. There are some of us that really have no difficulty at all doing extravagant things this time of year. And then there are some of us who struggle just to have the basics. And that can interfere with our outlook, our attitude, our perspective of Christmas. Oh, help us not to lose sight of what it is that we really say we're remembering this time of year. And we'll thank You for what You accomplished, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you think of the vast difference between each of us here in this congregation, it's really amazing. When we start thinking of our likes and our tastes, our preferences, it varies. The clothes we wear, cars we drive, houses we live in, the music we enjoy. It varies so much, and yet, you know, we're unique. I mean, to show you some of those variances and those differences, you know, there may be some of you that are vegetarians. I'm a carnivore. You know, you might like planting flowers. I like riding motorcycles. You might want to collect butterflies. I like collecting guns. You might enjoy watching Bambi. I like eating him. You know, there's so much variance in us. And yet, there's one thing that we all can relate with. We all know what it is when life dishes out the lemons, especially when someone that we love and trust hurts us. When that happens in life, we all relate. It doesn't matter our status in any other area of life. When someone that we love and someone that we have trusted hurts us deeply, then we take it personal. And how we handle that reveals a lot about us, about our character, about our faith. Life's not fair. And we've seen that as we've been looking at 2 Timothy, and then last week we looked at Mary. This young lady was looking forward to getting married, and God comes to her and interrupts her life and asks her to be the mother of the Messiah, which meant that she would lose everything. And yet she was willing. Life's just not fair, and there are times in life where, you know, it's one of two things is going to reveal itself in our life, whether our faith is something that is really something that we have, or whether the doubts just overwhelm us. Those times come in our lives. And if you're sitting here this morning and you say, well, that's never, ever happened to me, then don't hold your breath, because it's going to. Life's just not fair. But we need to have such a faith that is strong enough that we, like Job, could say, though he slay me, I will still hope in him. I will trust him. And one of the things that I find through the scriptures is that God has revealed for us examples of individuals who have gone before us, and they learned that life was not fair. Individuals that had to deal with loved ones and people that they trusted who hurt them and hurt them deeply. Let's just think of Adam and Eve. A son kills another son. Can you imagine the hurt that they would have had to deal with, knowing that one of their own children had the audacity, was mean and ugly to the point where he would kill another son, a brother? There's Joseph, hated by his brothers, hated to the point they wanted to kill him. And finally, at the age of 17, they come up with this idea of selling him. He becomes a slave. Imagine the hurt. Then there's a gal by the name of Ruth, a little bit different story, but she marries this man, and God takes this man away from her. And she's devoted to her mother-in-law and travels and has to leave her family and her homeland and follows her mother-in-law. This was her choice, but still life was hard. And she ends up having to go out into the fields and gather the grain that was left over in order just to survive. Yet her faith. Then there's a prophet by the name of Hosea. His wife bears him children that do not belong to him. And then she leaves him for a life of prostitution. And so as I study the scriptures, I find that God has revealed individuals who have had to deal with that hurt that each of us at times, sometimes have to struggle with, and it's hard. It's hard. So when life throws out those lemons at us, You know what faith does, don't you? Now that's cute, but it's never easy, is it? And sometimes we're guilty of this. We're guilty of the cuteness and the lightness, and we don't recognize the severity of it all, the depth, the pain, and the hurt. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Because in Matthew chapter 1, we have another example to where life is not fair. Life is not fair. But God is always faithful. Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, you're familiar with the story, and we're going to read the verses, and then we're going to come back and look at them in depth. But in chapter 1, starting in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, we've read that story, and we're familiar with that story, but let's think about it a little bit. If you remember last week, if you were here, the angel came to Mary and said, you are the favored one, you are the chosen one, you are going to give birth to the Messiah. And Mary could have simply asked the question, "You say that I have found favor with God, you say that I am blessed, but what you're asking me to do sounds like punishment, because if I bear this son, I will lose my fiancé. He will not believe me. My parents will reject me. My community will hate me. I will be shunned by all. You're asking me to forsake everything to allow this to take place." And she did. Now, if you remember the story, she became pregnant from the Holy Spirit, and she left the area for a while. She went to visit her cousin, and John the Baptist leaps in the womb of his mother when Mary arrives. And so everybody knows that this is really special. But then she comes back. I don't know what took place. I don't know the arrangement. I don't know how this all happened. Did she come to Joseph and share with him, or was it evident now? And can you imagine Joseph? Here he is, betrothed to her, being a righteous man, a just man. They have kept themselves pure. He's busy building their home, getting things ready, looking forward to the wedding. And she's pregnant. Now, can you imagine what he felt when he learned? Or do you suppose he looked at her and said, "Oh, Mary, it's not a big deal. That happened to my Aunt Gertrude also." No. This had never happened before. It's impossible. And so when he hears from his wife to be that she is pregnant, he knows that child is not hers, his, then there's only one conclusion. Is there not? There's only one conclusion. She has been unfaithful. And what's he to do? Now you say, "Well, wait a second, God jumped in there and took care of this." God did not jump in there until he saw how Joseph was going to handle this. Notice the scripture. In verse 18, it says the birth of Jesus took place in this way when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quickly or quietly. God hadn't intercepted here yet. Joseph makes the first step, kind of like the priests, you know, they had to put their foot in the water before God separated it. Now, the scripture says Joseph was a just man. It means he was righteous, which means he desired to do everything right. And to do things right meant doing it right according to God, according to the scriptures. Our culture knows nothing about that. In fact, last night, Abby and I was sitting in the room, but I really wasn't watching it a whole lot, but she was watching Aladdin. Remember the movie Aladdin? And in Aladdin, you know, Aladdin says to Jasmine, you know, when have you just let your heart lead, followed your heart? No, that's not what believers do. Because you follow your heart, it will follow, you will follow it to sin. The heart is desperately wicked. You lead your heart. You guide your heart. You protect your heart. And so Joseph is a righteous man. He's going to do what is right. And there's not a lot of options here. At worst, she's to be stoned to death. She's been unfaithful. At best, she's to be divorced. But because he's a caring man, and because he wants to do what is right, he makes his decision. And notice again what it says. And her husband Joseph, there in verse 19, being a just man, a righteous man, he wanted to do everything right according to Scripture, but unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. That's unlike most of us, isn't it? He's been hurt. I mean, he's been cut deep. He loves this girl. He has committed himself to her. He is looking forward to that relationship. She has been unfaithful. And generally, what we like to do is get revenge, don't we? Anybody that hurts me that bad, you know, I don't get even. I get better. Isn't that what we do? But he doesn't allow that. He wants to honor God in this. He doesn't like this any better than any of us would like it. But because he's caring, because he does love her, deeper than feelings, deeper than emotion, love is not a feeling, love is not an emotion, love is an act. Emotions change, feelings change, and when we follow feelings and emotions, then our love goes like this. Aren't you glad God doesn't love you that way? Love is an action that proves itself in action. And so Joseph decides, I got to do what's right. I can't take her to be my wife. That would break all scripture. She needs to be punished, disciplined. And so he decides to give her that letter of divorcement, but to do it quietly. In a sense, what he's saying is, God handles this. After all, the scriptures did teach that vengeance is his. He will repay. He will take care of it. He will set the stage for what needs to take place here. Judgment was not in his hands. He had to do what was right. It was wrong what had happened here in his mind. And so he's caring, but he's faithful to the scripture. But the second thing that I notice in this passage here is that he's obedient regardless of reputation. Keep reading. Verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife. Wow. Now, wait a second. Her pregnancy is not a secret. Her pregnancy is not a secret. And if he takes her to be his wife, you know what people are going to be thinking. People are cruel, aren't they? Especially when it comes to gossip. Preconceived judgment. People are cruel. He knew what was about to happen. He knew that if he did this, no one would understand him any more than they would understand Mary. He would lose everything. He is a carpenter, but his respect would be gone. But when he heard what the Lord had asked him to do, evidently the scriptures began to click that Isaiah had prophesied that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Joseph was willing to be obedient regardless of the consequences. That's hard. It's hard. When someone hurts you deeply and you're dealing with these things, and I mean, it's natural to want to get even and take revenge and to come out on top of this thing, but just to bring it before the Lord and just say, it's yours. You handle this. It's up to you. That's hard. If you've ever had to do that, you know how hard it is, because every ounce, every ounce within you does not want to do that. That's not natural. That's not the way we do things. We are fighters. We are winners. No one gets away with this. Right? Isn't that who we are? Yet he was obedient to follow the Lord regardless of the consequences, regardless of what his reputation would be, regardless of what people would say. We know, as I mentioned last week, that when Jesus finally went into the ministry and he was trying to minister to the people, they looked at him and said, look, our parents weren't unfaithful before marriage. We were not born of fornication. Don't you look at us like that. And so if they were holding that against Jesus, you know that they held that against Joseph and Mary all their life. But he was caring enough to make sure that he did it right. Follow the scriptures, for they're the final authority. He was obedient to follow God regardless of the consequences, and then his love for Mary was far more than physical attraction. I mean, that's pretty much evident from the first point when he found out. He was willing to put her away silently or quietly. But notice the last verse that we've read. Verse 25 says, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus. You read the Old Testament and you're reading about this guy knowing his wife and the baby's born. This husband knowing his wife and a baby is born, and you're beginning to put two and two together that You know, when you know your wife, it doesn't mean you just, when you know her, babies are born. So you begin to understand what that means. And when we get to the New Testament, it says that Joseph knew her not. It meant that he did not have a sexual relationship with her until after Jesus was born. He wasn't marrying her for what he could get. It wasn't her physical attraction that had locked his eyes on her. His love for her was far more than that. He loved her for her. And so he took her to be his wife, and his love for her was so strong that he did not have a relationship with her physically until after the baby was born, and Scripture was then fulfilled that Jesus was born of a virgin. So as we look at this and we look at Joseph's life and we begin to evaluate our own lives, how we handle things, it reveals an awful lot of us. You see, faithfulness is really the measure of success as God evaluates our lives. As God evaluates our lives, he is not going to be evaluating as to, you know, the boy or the man with the most toys wins. That's not how God's going to evaluate all of this. It's going to be our faithfulness to him. And of course, as he evaluates our faithfulness to him, it's going to be our faithfulness to this. Because this is how God revealed himself to us. If you want to know God, this is how you got to find him. He gave us the Bible for two reasons. One, that we might know him. But not that we might just know him, but that we might know how to please him with our lives and to follow him and to glorify him. And so this is what we have to learn and apply to our lives. And as we do, we find out that his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. I mean, he asked me to do things that I just don't like doing. And yet, when I've come to know him and to love him, I know that he sets these rules and he sets these regulations, and he does that for my best. Because he knows what's best. So when we stand before him, it's really going to be a matter of how I served him. And here's a quote from Micah. And I don't know if the praise team has ever put this or sung this to music yet. I'm looking at praise teams. Anybody? Yes or no? Anyway, it can be sung. It's beautiful. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice. Do right. Do right. Love kindness and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what God's going to be evaluating in our lives when we stand before him, is just how did we live our lives? And did we do it in a way that to do what was right, to do what was just, to do as the Scripture commanded, and we leave things in his hands to let him take care of these things? Do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God. And is that not what Joseph did? When he heard this news, he wanted to do what was right. He was going to be kind. He was going to put her away quietly. And he was going to go on with his humble life without trying to make a big deal out of this. That's what pleases and honors our Lord. So, yeah, we're diverse. You like watching Bambi, I like eating him. But the thing that all of us can relate with is when that person that we love and trust hurts us. How we respond reveals a lot about me, reveals a lot about my faith. Is God really sovereign? Is his word really true? Is he really enough for me? I mean, if I have nothing but Jesus, can my soul be content? Knowing that even though the world forsake me, he never will, is that sufficient? And the promise of knowing that all things work together for good, even though I don't understand them, I do not like them, and I hurt deeply. Is that promise enough to get me through? Knowing that all things work together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Those questions are hard. And yet we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's what Joseph did. My life verse here, I guess, just reminds us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. His ways are not our ways, folks. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Vengeance doesn't belong to you. God will take care of things. When we're hurt and we're cut deeply, God will take care of it. You just be careful how you respond, because that's what you're going to be held accountable for. The other person, the other circumstances, God will take care of that. They'll have to answer for that, but you're responsible to you. And so when we're thinking of Christmas and we think of Mary and Joseph, do we recognize and to realize that that very first Christmas when that baby was born, no one understood? Mom and Dad stood alone with nothing. And a week later, 8 days later, when it came time for the offering, they brought a couple of pigeons because they couldn't afford. The sacrifice that God normally asked. You see, Christmas isn't about all these things. It's really about our relationship with Christ and with God. And we need to learn to trust him. So, I have not come to this point yet. How do I know that? Because I know what goes on in my heart and my mind when things happen. I know that doubt still does creep in. And I do question at times. I don't understand. But each of us should come to the point where we have the faith to be able to say, I don't understand this, I don't like this, and I know you all think I'm crazy, because they did at Job's life, did they not? They all thought he was crazy. And yet he said, though he slay me, yet will I hope or trust in him? Life's not fair. Life is not fair. But God is. And our faith needs to rise above all that doubt to where we're able to say, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, while the praise team works their way to the front, I'd like you just in your quietness to evaluate your walk with God, your confidence and your trust and your faith in him. It's possible that you're dealing with things in your life at this Christmas season that you don't understand. Hurts and pains. You need to commit all that to him. And you know, the reason for Christmas is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and he did that we might have a relationship with him. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then that's the first step, is just coming to that point where you recognize that you are a sinner and you deserve his judgment, but you would like to be forgiven. And you'd like to have a relationship with him. And all you have to do is, in your own words, just cry out to him and say, God, forgive me. I want to be your child. I want to be forgiven of my sins. And I realize that Jesus is my only hope. And if ever you need someone to talk to, I'm always here. I'd be glad to speak with you. There's others here that would be glad to talk with you. We'd like to help you through that. But those of you that are believers, your faith can be tested deeply. It can be. Life's not fair. But how you handle those things reveals who you are, reveals the faith that you claim to have. And we must always do what is right and honoring to God, regardless of whether we understand. And Joseph is a perfect example of that. Father, thank you for this morning and for your word. And oh, when we just stop and think about these individuals, they're not just stories in the Bible. They're real people who had to deal with real circumstances and real trials and real difficulties. And to be able to see their faith just shine in the midst of it all is such a blessing. But Father, they didn't have anything that we don't have. In fact, we have more scripture than any of them did. We have more promises recorded. We have their testimonies to look at and to learn from. And yet oftentimes our faith is weaker than theirs. Oh, I pray that you'd work in our midst and that you would help us to become men and women who love your word. And we prove that by desiring to know your word, that we might hide it within our hearts, that we might not sin against you, and that we may put its principles to action in our lives that help us in the decisions that we make in every area of our life, that we bring you glory. And Father, if there be anyone here that needs just to get a load off their shoulders, they need someone to talk to, may they feel comfortable and confident enough to where they could come and speak with me, or to find another friend here in the body that would be able to help and to encourage them. So we commit ourselves into your hands, asking you to work in each of our lives, each of our families, and in our ministry here. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.